This is Katie Harth with Mission Network News, and I'm talking with my friend Steve Prince today from Warrior Set Free. That's a division of Set Free, and we're going to be talking about this shocking event. The shock is still kind of settling in over the assassination attempt on former President Trump. And that was at a political rally in Pennsylvania over the weekend. Just to recap, there was a 20-year-old nursing home employee that fired shots at Trump, injuring him and two others, and a 50-year-old firefighter who died protecting his family. He was the only casualty, thank God. But my first question for you, Steve, is this is a major event. How has it affected the military and the veteran community that you guys are in touch with?
I think based on what any military guy or first responder person has seen or witnessed, it impacts us all individually based on our experience. I got a notification on my phone. I was in a grocery store and I was highly upset. I was by myself picking up ice cream for my wife, and I eat ice cream too. It wasn't just her. But I was like, my jaw clenched and I was irate as soon as I heard it. And then I tried to tell somebody in the store, like, hey, they just shot at Trump. And at that point, we didn't know if he was dead or hit or not. And it was an odd moment for me because people that hadn't heard were in this everything's normal state. And I know that assassinations have started world wars. So I immediately go into a combat mindset of, okay, what could happen next? If this is a coordinated attack, are there other people attacking other places into a 9/11 scenario? So it instantly brought me back to a tactical mindset of evaluate your environment, look around and make good decisions. And expect the worst, and prepare for that. So, luckily, it was nothing, as far as we know, than one moron is the nicest thing I can call him. But watching the media, watching the facts come in gathered. Some things they're like, we don't know yet. At one point, I heard that they thought that Trump's teleprompter might have gotten shot. And a piece of glass hit him in the face, and he didn't really get hit with a bullet. And then they figured out that wasn't true. And so one of our core attributes at Warrior Set Free is truth. And how does truth affect your situation? When things like this happen, we use a term called the fog of war. And there's chaos and there's confusion, and you can see it in how the Secret Service and all the law enforcement first responders who were there responded. They had trained to do what they do, but even in the moment, they're looking around and trying to figure out the situation in the moment. So, the thing about that engagement, that assassination attempt, is it really brings to the forefront evil is real. I think as an 18-year-old veteran who deployed and got saw a little bit of combat at 18. I knew the reality of life and death in ways that others didn't. And when I came home, much like the people in the grocery store, no one was paying attention to what I had been through. So in the military, there has been decades of men and women who have trained for combat and never saw it. In first responder world, depending on the situation, and that from what I can tell, that community in Pennsylvania, it doesn't look like there's shots fired there on a regular basis. So for men and women who put on a uniform and don a badge and put a weapon on their hip every morning, this brings it to the forefront. Like, this is real. People really attempt to murder others, and it's our responsibility, their responsibility, to fight that evil nose to nose. And one of the common terms is when most people run from the gunfire, first responders and military run towards it. And that's a different mindset.
Yeah, and I really appreciate you bringing that combat reaction mindset like talking about that, because as a civilian, that didn't even cross my mind. So I appreciate that you remind us like how a veteran, someone who's seen combat, would respond to something like that. And I have more questions about the specific first responder community, but before we get there, I have to ask, because I've heard a lot of reports. I'm following it like you, and witnesses say the attacker had plenty of time to climb onto the roof and get into position to open fire. So it raises questions for me, like as far as where's the security? And I just wonder, with the military, people with military experience, do they have any frustration or anger about that? Or is it something that they understand because they're not, until you're in that position? I don't know. I'm just curious. Does it bring any frustration or anger regarding security or the lack thereof?
Yeah, I think with the understanding that we have, based on doing things similar to that, I've never been a sniper. I've never done counter sniper work, but we're all trained to think like the enemy. And if we were going to attack, where would we set up? And you put your mindset in the enemy's head of like, if I knew what I knew about us, where would I set up? And then you go and you take out that opportunity by putting a friendly, even a security guard with a taser on that roof. And then the lies we're hearing from leadership, it's disgusting. And and I'm also a firearms instructor, so I know the capability of that weapon. I know, how accurately you can shoot that thing. I just today saw a headline. I'm a fan of not the bee associated with the Babylon Bee, but they estimate for 26 minutes, people witnessed, law enforcement witnessed this guy on the roof grabbing a laser rangefinder, pulling a weapon out of a backpack, setting up. I also heard, I'm in the same boat as you. I don't have any inside information. I also heard w in the last couple of days that there was a law enforcement officer who got up on the roof. The murderer turned his gun on that law enforcement officer, and that guy retreated, and then he rushed his shots as part of the reason he wasn't successful. So that guy is going to have a lot of shame and guilt to deal with if it's true. And even the people that failed to analyze that rooftop and go, hey, this is a potential threat. So this is very familiar to a scenario of when Afghanistan fell, and a long interview. Tyler Vargas with Sean Ryan. Tyler had a sniper in his, or a an IED suicide bomber in his scope. They knew it was a bomber. They had full identification, and he couldn't get authority to shoot and stop that suicide bomber. And that bomber killed 13 Americans, 140 Afghans. And Tyler, the guy who wasn't allowed to shoot him, lost an arm and a leg in that bombing. So one of the challenges of military leadership is we follow orders. So you could see the two guys behind Trump up on the roof watching the guy. Like, they had him in their sights. They're waiting for authority for someone to say, yeah, go ahead and take him out. And ultimately, that's where the error lays in the authority who said you can or cannot shoot this guy. So it's a hard thing to do as a soldier to follow directions when you believe they might be wrong. But it's another thing with our ministry that it's successful because when we work with military and law enforcement, they follow directions. We say, this is what the Bible says. Read Proverbs 2. This is what God commands us to do. If we seek him, he'll reveal himself to us. So we're commanded to forgive. So we lead him through forgiveness. So yeah, a lot of scenarios in there. And then one more that actually came to me last night when I was laying in bed. We do a teaching where we talk about a fighting diamond. And we use the analogy of a baseball field because everybody can see that in their head. You're the pitcher, and you have people on every base that are on your team. first, second, third, and home. And we describe who those people are. The fighting diamond is adapted from a military fighting formation. If you have a small team, you move in a moving box of a diamond formation. When President Trump got hit, his diamond collapsed on him and sacrificed their own bodies to protect him. And what we train guys in our ministry, and I say guys, and some females as well, we train them to build your diamond in life. Have people in life that you can lean on, that you trust. And when you're sniped, when you're attacked by the enemy, when you're tempted to do really dumb things, you let your diamond know and they come take care of you. I've been in houses with intoxicated veterans with firearms on the table, and we're having a conversation. And in that moment, I get to be a part of that person's personal protection team. I'm there to protect them from themselves. And God shows up, and the Holy Spirit has given me words to say in an effort to be that guy who lays my body on in the way, in an effort to save a brother who's suicidal or homicidal. Those are typically the two temptations. So that image of those men and women protecting the president with their own bodies, if the killer would have continued to shoot, they would have paid that price. But that's what service looks like, to lay down your life for a mission. And we talk about doing that for our country, but we're called to do that for our king in the kingdom of God as well.
And this is kind of leading perfectly into my questions about the first responders, because they, in a similar way, are called to sacrifice to save others, because they're the ones, like you said, rushing into the line of fire or into the burning building. The one casualty from this event was a firefighter, and he died trying to protect his family. What kind of impact does that have among the first responder community, who might look at this and say, that was one of us who died, you know, who went down in that attack?
Yeah, it does several things. One is I have great respect for all first responders, from EMS to firefighters to emergency room nurses and doctors. We fold them into our ministry, they're a big part of what we do, even though we're veteran heavy. When I think of that community and the interactions I've had with law enforcement or firefighters, those are my worst moments in life, is I get notified or I have to interact because something terrible happened. What I don't think the community understands is people that put on those uniforms go from worst moment of one person's life to worst moment of another person's life to the worst moment of another person's life shift. So it's very rare that they get to celebrate, you know, finding someone who's been lost. The other thing that's very unique about that community, unlike the military, is you might have someone join a certain police department and stay in that force their entire career. Standard rule in the military is you're moving active duty, you're moving every 3 years. So relationships get formed, get broken. So it's, I believe that community is even more tight knit. And it, in relationships amongst those people, you basically have the strongest relationships with the people you spend the most time with. I have, you know, men that I do ministry with that I see, you know, 1,000 times more than I see certain relatives. So those relationships, when one of your own dies, it's hard because you're so close to that person. The other thought process that comes in is, that could have been me. And am I really ready to lay down my life in this occupation, which, you know, it's Romans 13 authority. God put authorities in place to punish the evildoer. And, you know, that makes me super proud of the snipers who did take out the threat. Romans 12:9, your love must be sincere, hate what is evil. And that guy who shot at the president, deserve to die. There's no other. I mean, you can powder coat it, you can cut that out if you want, but he was a real force of evil attempting murder. And those law enforcement that react to those things have a hard job to do. And in my opinion, the ones that shot back did a great job. And I appreciate them. If I could buy them a steak dinner, I would.
I love it. I'm definitely not going to cut it out. So you've got, you made it past the editing booth there, but.
Nice. And I didn't even cuss.
I know. It's great. So, you know, the people you guys work with aren't necessarily going to be having a presidential assassination level event like on a daily basis. But as you mentioned, they do have those worst moment realities every day, every time, you know, they're working. So how can we best pray for them? How can we learn? How can people respond to this and learn more about Warrior Set Free and how to get involved?
Absolutely. You know, the easiest thing to do to get in touch with Warrior Set Free is just get on the webpage or on social media and reach out to us. Chances are you'll get me if you send us a message. We're expanding. We have an office in Michigan, office in Georgia. We're looking to Texas next, as where God's leading us. We're going to increase our social media impact in an effort to reach more warriors in this community. The prayer part is priceless. And I had a conversation with a gentleman, and I love what I do. And I present confidentiality when I meet with a person. I don't even remember who it was that told me the story. So if they're listening, I'm not sharing anything because I don't remember who told me the story, but he showed up to a scene and a car accident. I think he was a firefighter. He was first on scene, and there were multiple people that all needed help. And he assessed everybody there, and he made a decision to work. You can only work on one at a time. And the person he worked on lived, and the others did not. And so we talked through that, and we're really quick to accuse Satan of tempting us or, you know, enticing us to sin. And we're like, oh, that's temptation from the enemy. And we hear Satan's voice. I think we don't give God enough credit for when we make decisions. And in those moments, I told this guy, I said, maybe God led you to work on the one person that could be saved. And the other three, there was no way. And by the way, God knew who was going to live and who was going to die that day. And if it weren't for you, that one person might not have made it. If you would have made another decision, all four of them might have passed. So when we pray for law enforcement and you think about the worst places at the worst times, that's where they have to be. Pray for divine protection. Pray for divine decision-making. Pray for them to be alert. Just like we saw with the attempt on the president, if he wouldn't have looked at the moment he looked, his head would have been in a different position, and that bullet could have hit his brain. And I believe that God protects those who protect others. I know he does. And so pray those prayers, like, Lord, if there's a firefighter, if there's a policeman in danger tonight, I ask for your divine protection. I ask that you would guide them to pull over the correct car that is, you know, got a criminal in it who's doing bad things so that the innocent can be saved from evil. And you hear stories. I got one forwarded to me where there was a massive car accident. I want to say it was Iowa. And a guy showed up praying, and they couldn't get the person out of the car. And when he started praying, something changed, and they got the person out of the car. And then everybody looked around, and that guy disappeared. That guy was never there. But they all witnessed to the exact same guy being there and praying these prayers. So angels are real. We never really know when we're going to interact with them. But I think they work overtime for our first responders.
Amen. And I am so glad they do. And yeah, I have nothing to say to follow that up with, because
So,
it was great.
one more thought, and I
Yeah.
actually need to capture some of this stuff because I should be sharing this on our social media too.
Oh yeah, go for
So,
it.
I met with a young man who's considering joining the military and talked about this mindset. And Jesus used analogies and stories all the time, so I try and be like him. So if you're in a building, whether it's a church or an office building, whatever it is, and there's 100 people in that building, and someone says, "Hey, there's a threat," whatever it is, it's somebody with a gun or a knife or whatever it is in the parking lot. There's a threat out in the parking lot. There's evil at our doorstep. Who's gonna go? And the people that are like, "I'll go," they're the ones that they know there's a possibility. Well, and let's ramp it up. So say 10 people go, but before they go, they get knowledge that one of them is going to die, no matter what. But if nobody goes, everybody's going to die. So if you get 10 people to go out and confront evil, one of them are going to pay for that with their life. But if nobody goes, evil wins and everybody dies. So there's been a lot of situations in our history that, one of the most famous ones is on 9/11, let's roll, where they decided they'd rather die in an airplane than let terrorists hit a target and be successful. The high school shooting in Florida, there was a young man who was in some sort of ROTC program and single-handedly tried to fight that killer who was killing kids, and he died in the process. That's the warrior mindset. The people are like, "I might pay for this with my life, but I'm not going to let evil win." And I think about all the people that knew that there was a threat there that day, maybe for up to 26 minutes, and didn't do anything. They pointed and yelled to where two or three guys up on a rooftop confronting one guy with a gun. Somebody's going to die, but you'll save lives. And that's hard math to do. That's a hard decision to make. But I hate evil enough. And I know a lot of guys that do, a lot of warriors who are willing to step into the gap for that.